Today, the people of Ohio will have their say about union rights.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in New York, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. Today, Ohio voters will say yes or no to the state's new law limiting the collective bargaining rights of public workers. A state ballot initiative seeks to repeal the law, which affects more than 350,000 unionized government employees. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer reports.
Supporters of the law are using TV ads to paint public workers as fat cats.
It's not right that hardworking Ohioans have sacrificed, yet still have to foot the bill for government workers' gold-plated health benefits and automatic pay raises.
Government workers are supposed to get automatic raises, but many gave them up this year because of Ohio's tough economy. In general, the state's workers do have good benefits, but they accepted lower salaries in return. John Green teaches political science at the University of Akron.
The overall package may be really pretty good compared to the private sector, but there's a different mix of salary, wages, and benefits.
Harley Shakin is a labor economist at Berkeley. He says the issue is more than just public sector pay and benefits, because the law puts strict limits on whether government employees can negotiate their working conditions.
I think at the end of the day, the referendum is about the basic right to have a union and to negotiate.
This issue isn't confined to Ohio. Wisconsin has passed a similar law, and other states are watching closely. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall Genzer for Marketplace.
The Japanese carmaker Toyota said today its profit fell 18% last quarter. Sales plunged because of parts shortages related to the March earthquake and tsunami. And as Marketplace's Jeff Tyler reports, the company's future isn't looking so great either because of more bad luck from Mother Nature.
Last spring, the tsunami in Japan hurt Toyota's ability to crank out new cars. Production had been picking up again when floods hit Thailand. Jeremy Anwill is CEO of Edmunds.com.
Thailand is a major supplier of components, and the plants in Thailand have really been underwater now for about a month. So what that's caused Toyota to do, particularly in the United States, is cut back on production.
The strong Japanese yen also works against Toyota. The dollars aren't worth as much when converted into yen. Morningstar analyst David Whiston says compared to other Japanese carmakers, the strong yen will hurt Toyota the most.
They are the most dependent on that yen-dollar exchange rate because of the big three Japanese, they actually produce the most in Japan compared to the other guys.
All the more incentive for Toyota to build cars in the U.S. Good timing there. After several delays, Toyota is expected to begin production at a big new manufacturing plant in Mississippi later this month. I'm Jeff Tyler for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are mostly higher in overseas trading this morning, well, except for in Japan, where in addition to the bad news from Toyota, the 92-year-old camera company Olympus admitted it has been covering up losses since the 1980s. As far as Europe is concerned, stocks are higher as we await a budget vote in Italy that could force the resignation of leader Silvio Berlusconi. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow rose 85 points to close at 12,068.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Atlantic Monthly Press, publisher of Worm, The First Digital World War by Mark Bowden, about the Configure computer worm and the battle to protect the Internet. By Reputation.com, helping small business owners, professionals, and executives monitor, protect, and improve their online reputations. Reputation.com. And by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
Take a look around you today and see how many billboards you can spot. You'll probably lose count pretty quick because they are everywhere. Well, a new documentary that's premiering today at the Doc NYC Festival here in New York explores just how fast billboard advertising has taken over public space. It's called This Space Available, and we're joined now by the director, Gwenelle Gobet. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
Well, let's focus on the specific. I drive by a famous building in Los Angeles all the time. It's on the corner of Wilshire and La Brea. It's an old building, and it's got a big lit-up Samsung billboard on the top. What is wrong with that in principle?
There's nothing wrong with buying and selling, but there is something wrong when wherever you go, whatever you do, you are treated as a consumer. There are places where that is appropriate, and there are places where that's not. there's a problem when students from a class don't recognize the trees that are in their neighborhoods, but if you show them an alphabet with just one letter picked out from logos, they will recognize every single brand.
But it's not just billboards that are doing that. Obviously, that's something that's coming from television and from magazines and from images that they see all over the place. Why are billboards so much worse in your mind than the rest of the advertising we see?
Because they're occupying a space that doesn't really belong to advertising. It belongs to everyone.
Well, let's talk about one of the most interesting parts of your film, which is Sao Paulo, Brazil, a place that has banned all billboard advertising.
I think there was just too much of it. And it wasn't about who was making the best message or the best advertising. It was who was putting up the biggest billboard in the most places. There's a story of a bank billboard being bigger than the actual bank building. You couldn't see the city because it was covered in billboards. The mayor passed a law, and then everything was down in 6 months, which was pretty radical.
Do you think that anything like that could ever happen here in the United States? I mean, in the advertising center of New York, for instance?
I really do believe that it could happen because it's not good for brands to be a pollution. I really believe in the passion of New Yorkers, and they love their city. I don't think they want it to look like any other city. I think they want it to look like New York.
Gwenaëlle Gobet, director of the new documentary film This Space, available. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you, Jeremy.
And we've got clips from the film at our website, marketplace.org. Finally, to Scotland, where a fireworks company is apologizing for a technical glitch in a display last Friday night. The display was supposed to last 20 minutes, but the company accidentally set off all the fireworks at the same time, so it only lasted 50 seconds. There will be a makeup show at the end of this month, though I bet the first one was pretty cool. In New York, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
It's the third largest economy in Europe, and the smart bet says if Italy goes, so goes everything.
Stocks in Italy are plummeting.
Italy has one of the world's most heavily indebted governments.
Italy today is slamming Standard & Poor's for downgrading the country's credit rating.
I'm Bob Moon, Marketplace Reports from Rome, next time on the broadcast from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.